I'm Jacqueline, I'm an addict. Firstly, I it's supposed to be 15 minutes and I ask, can I do 20? And I might stop at 10, but at least I know I've got 20 if I need it. Yeah, it's good to be in this meeting. Just asked if the lights could be dimmed. I don't know, I'm so nervous about doing this chair tonight, and it must be because it's getting recorded, because I do quite a few chairs, and and for some reason I can feel my hand shaking. But, and I just want to say thanks first to my friends who have come along, and they listen to me every chair I do, and they must be sick to death of hearing me, but they're here again this evening. I just want to talk a little bit about my day, really. I work on a day program, and I'm a structured treatment practitioner, which sounds very posh, and I'm really chuffed, and I've just got new business cards, and I'm over the moon. At a project where I was once a client, and when I came into recovery in 98, it was one of my goals that I would one day work there, and I've just recently achieved it. But I work with using addicts, and it's everything we do there is totally against what we do here in NA, and it's kind of can be really stressful. And today was quite an emotional day, and I need to kind of leave it behind when I come home. And so this is what I kind of needed tonight, was to come and do a chair and kind of give something back and be back with people, you know, who I can relate to. I'm just going to talk a bit about my using, and I'll start at the beginning. I'm from Cardiff, and I'm 40, and I was sexually abused from when I was 8 till I was 12, and I used to think that I was really unique when I came into recovery, and now I realise this, you know, I'm not the only one, and I think that's what I like about being in NA. And I picked up food when I was 8 years old, and that was definitely my first addiction. I don't know if I believe that I was born with this disease, but I think circumstances kind of... I think I was quite happy till I was 8 years old, and then it all seemed to go wrong. And I used food with a vengeance. I remember my parents had a shop, and I ate a whole box of Wagon Wheels in 3 nights, a big box, and buried the empty box in the storeroom so that my parents wouldn't see it. But inevitably, they got down to the bottom of the shelf and found this empty box from the Wagon Wheels. And used to eat a lot of cakes and things, and that continued. And I picked up when I was 14, and you know, it was a progression. And I started by I smoked a spliff, and quite liked it. I was at my sister's, and she'd gone out, and this guy who she was sharing the flat with gave me my first spliff. And the TV wasn't on, but I smoked like 2 or 3 puffs of this spliff, and was watching Starsky and Hutch on the TV, and the TV was off. But I really was watching Starsky and Hutch, and I liked the feeling because it really took me out of myself. And I started working on the streets at 14. I started running away from home, and I wasn't happy. My parents were quite strict, and I don't know. I used to think they don't understand me. They still don't understand me. So it's not, you know, I'm not in denial around that. But today they try, which is very good. And I used to run away. I started running away. And I was always the perfect child before that. I was, you know, I've got 3 sisters, and I was always top of my class and always did really well and had top grades. And my mother had very high expectations, and because all my other sisters weren't doing too well at school. And as it turned out, it was me that was the black sheep. So I started running away, and I got raped at 14, I think the first or the second time I ran away, and I got gang raped by 6 guys, and within 2 days I was out working on the streets. And I did that, you know, there's no point in talking about my using. That's all I did until I was 33. I worked on the streets. And I sold sex in one way or another, whether it was massage parlors, escort agencies, hotels, but that's what I did. And that's how I funded my habit. I got pregnant at 16, had a miscarriage, got pregnant again at 17, and I had my son when I was 18. And I came up to London. And you know, my using had progressed. I was injecting speed and Tunil at that time. And as soon as I came to London, I started taking coke, you know, free basin and washing it up. And I started smuggling at 18, 19, I started smuggling drugs. And I smuggled for about 5 or 6 years. And from Jamaica and America, and eventually I got caught. My using was really chaotic. Every penny I had went on drugs, and I was smoking crack by this time. And that's all I did, you know. I worked, I bought drugs, I smuggled, came back and picked up over £5,000-6,000 each time, and it would be gone within 10 days. It would all be gone, and I'd want to do another trip. And I was a terrible mother. My son used to stay with his childminder all the time, and inevitably, I didn't end up seeing him for 10 years of my using. So I ended up in prison. I did 3.5 years in prison. And I did 3 years of that in America, in Rikers Island, and which wasn't very nice. And ended up coming back here again. I did an exchange with an English prisoner here, an American, and I came here and she went there. And I did the last part of my sentence here. And when I came out, I started using heroin. And I used heroin for kind of the last 10 years of my using, I used heroin. And, you know, it was always that, oh, I'd never do this. I would never use heroin, and smackheads are the lowest of the low, and I did it. And I would never inject, and I did it. And so for the last 10 years of my using, that's all it was. You know, I lived on a mattress on the floor. My house was a crack house, always getting raided. Never paid a bill in my life, and that's what I did. I was always in abusive relationships. They always went wrong. I'd always end up in hospital, or, you know, I think I had my nose broke 4 times. I just have a pattern for picking really, I don't know, the wrong men, in recovery as well as in using. And in 98, I got endocarditis, and I ended up in the hospital. And I spent three and a half months in hospital and got read my last rites. I'd been laying in my bed. The guy I'd been with for 8 years was in prison yet again. And I was laying in bed, and I'd married this Egyptian guy for money in my using. And he'd come around, and I couldn't get out of bed for 3 days. I was doing everything in the bed, going to the toilet, and just, you know, I thought I was gear sick in the beginning. Then I realized it was something worse. Didn't have a phone, obviously, because I didn't have any money to buy a phone. And he came around and ended up calling an ambulance. And I got to the hospital, and they read my last rites and told me, and I spent 3.5 months there, and I got pneumonia while I was there. And the insanity of this disease was when I was in St. Mary's. And there was other girls who worked, who I knew from working. And there was about 5 of us in the hospital at the same time on different wards. And we would meet up on the stairs, on the fire escape. And our dealer would come and deliver to us. And we would use on the stairs, crack or inject. But I had no veins. I had no veins when I started using, and I certainly didn't have any 10 years later. But I had this Hickman line into my heart. And I was getting really frustrated because all my mates were getting hits, and I couldn't get a hit. And I injected into the line, and you know, that's the insanity of using, got rushed straight back to theatre. But it kind of started the ball rolling, and that's enough about my using. It started the ball rolling, and I got into treatment. They sorted out funding, and I got into treatment. And what I forgot to say was that I'd given up custody of my son when I came out of prison. I fought for custody. His granny was fighting me for custody. And I gave up custody. I knew I was going to come back to London and continue using. So I just thought it was best for him that I gave up custody. And, you know, today he's a using addict, and he's very angry. I was with him last week. He's got so much anger towards the world, but especially towards me. And the other thing I forgot to say was when I left home at 16, I walked out, and I never spoke to any of my family again until I was 33. So 17 years, and when I came into recovery, I'd been in about 6 months. I did detox, and I walked out 11 days after detox, but then I've never injected since. And 6 months later, I got back in touch with my family. I had to put an advertisement in the newspaper in Wales, and because I didn't know where any of them were. You know, 17 years later, everyone's moved, and now I speak to them every day. My sister just rang me just now. Good luck. And she says, I told her that this gets recorded and she wants to hear it. And I'm kind of a bit dubious because my family are very much in denial. And although my sister's very supportive, do I want her to hear me talking about sexual abuse? Or, you know, and I can imagine what pain it would cause her, so I don't think I'm going to let her use it. And I did tell her that, but I don't know, we'll see. So I came into recovery and I walked out of treatment 11 days later. I was clean from gear, but I came out and I picked up crack the first day. And the next day I went to an NA meeting and I met my first sponsor in that meeting. It was really weird. I walked into the tabernacle and she's sitting there and she was like, I don't know, about 13 years clean then. And by the end of that day, she had come back to see a dealer with me to pick up my gold that he had. And she told me I couldn't go on my own. She'd come over to my using flat that I still had, and that was gross. We had to peel. Anyway, she decorated my flat. She painted it all yellow in the lounge, and she painted all pretty waves in the bathroom. And you know, it was still the pits. It was disgusting, but it was a lot better than when I was using. And she was a star, and I love her to death, and I still speak to her. She's in Brazil at the moment. But I couldn't stay clean. I used to get 9 months, 10 months, 11 months, and I've been in recovery now. This is my eighth year. And I could never, I don't know. You know, I'm an addict. So I've had, it seems like, every addiction there is. When I came around, I picked up food. I came into recovery at under 7 stone. And in recovery, I tripled my weight. I went up to 19.3. And that was the first thing I picked up when I got clean. And then it went to shopping, because I was at university. By the way, I went back into treatment, and I went to a women's treatment centre in London, and I didn't know what I was going to do. You know, I'd never had a job. But everybody in these meetings seemed to be going to college and wanting to be a counsellor, and I just kind of went along with the flow. And that's what I did. I went to college, I did an access course, and I'd left school at 14, so... You know, it was an achievement. And then I went on to university to do a psychology and counselling degree and did 2 years of that. And then took a gap year and I ended up working for a national newspaper and in advertising, and that was all good. But I kept relapsing. Couldn't stay clean. I had a sex addiction in recovery that, you know, and I'm really ashamed of this, but I was seeing having a relationship with 4 different guys at the same time. And the minute one left my house, I would ring and the other one would turn up. And it was really... And each one of these addictions got very painful, that I would eventually pick up crack or gear again. Crack. It was only on my last relapse I picked up gear. But I kept going to meetings. And each time I relapsed, it was more difficult to come back. But I don't know what... I don't know. You know, it's kind of like... The seed was sown, and I knew there was a better way. I knew I didn't have to use. But I was in so much pain. And although each time I got back, I would look at something else, another one of my issues, but I was never willing just to get rid of all these secrets. It was, you know, they'd been buried so long. My last relapse was... I'm 26 months on the 18th of this month, and I've never passed a year. I was around for over 5 years and couldn't get a year clean. But my relapses were kind of 2 hours or 2 days or a week. And in the last 8 years, I've actually had over 7.5 years clean. But, you know, because we're in NA, I'm coming up to 26 months clean. I'm sure you can all see I carry a bit of a resentment about that. But I didn't give up. I just kept coming back. And I used to see that, so keep coming back. And it kind of, it didn't register. And I didn't realize that that's what I was doing. But I just kept coming back. And I knew that I couldn't go back to where I'd come from. I couldn't. And my first sponsor said, there's nothing worse than an old whore. And it kind of, and it really stuck. And then 26 months ago, longer than that, because I relapsed. And on all my relapses, I'd never picked up heroin again. And on my last relapse, I picked up heroin and got a gear habit back and ended up having to go back into detox. And that was the final nail in the coffin kind of thing. I just thought, I can't do this. I just can't do it. And I was so desperate. And I'd started selling stuff in my house. And I just wasn't, you know, I was clean, but I wasn't happy. All those years, I was clean. And everybody used to think that Jackie's fine, because I have so many masks. And people always think I'm fine. And then all of a sudden, when I break down, people are really shocked, because people see me as being this really strong person. And it's what I give off, but it's not how I'm feeling most of the time inside. So, and it's getting better, and this time it's much better. So I didn't. When I came back, I had to do a detox again. And my house, you know, I have a beautiful home, and I used to go home in the night and dread going back to my house, and it's because I couldn't stand having to be with Jackie. It was awful. And this time I came round, there was no reservations. I don't have any reservations, because I've tried to relapse every way there is. I can drink. I can smoke a spliff. Just one spliff. Just one drink after leaving the office. Just one pipe. Okay, I can smoke for a week, and none of them work. Sex doesn't work. Sex does not fix me. Shopping doesn't fix me. Nothing fixes me. I shopped till I dropped and had to go bankrupt for $33,000 in recovery. And I have to say, it's different this time. This time, I don't fix with anything. Saying that, we've just been to Oxford Street, me and my mate, and I've just bought a new jumper. But you know, it's moderation. And I don't know the last time I shopped, so it's really good. I do a lot of meetings. I do a lot of service. And whether it's doing, in fact, I can be excessive with service. I used to have 6 commitments a week. But I take 2 meetings, and I kind of, all my mates are in recovery. Everybody, and my phone doesn't stop constantly. My house half the time is like an open house for people in recovery. And my first sponsor said to me, and if there's any newcomers in the room, my first sponsor said to me, the bottom line is, Jack, you just can't use. Just don't pick up that first one. And I couldn't get that. I just couldn't get it. And now I know exactly what she meant. However I'm feeling, however rough my days might be, I don't use. I have a good cry, and that's fine, because I always, and I might cry for 2 days, but I might not cry again then for another 2 months, and that's fine. So, yeah, that's all I do. I keep coming back to NA, and I have my life back, and I'm a grandmother, and I celebrated my 40th birthday last year with a party in my house, first party I've ever had in my life. And it was awful, because I thought no one was going to turn up. And they did. And it was fantastic. And it's an achievement to get to 40. Because I didn't think I was going to live for my 18th birthday, or my 21st, or my 22nd, 23rd, and so on. And I'm 41 next week. So, yeah, I think that's all I can say. Thanks.
Nice.